Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Carl Hunt did an amazing race with a mission. Don't get captured. CBS starts its reality competition after we learn that the Patriots, or the Steelers, head to the Super Bowl Sunday night. Executive producer Laura Foy Silva joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. There's more to series and series prospects than ever getting showcased at the Sundance Film Festival next week. The most unique in this group may be The Chances, where the creators, both deaf, play best friends. Get to know them through Shana Stern and Josh Feldman and their interpreter later this hour. Also add the answer to this week's classic trivia question. Good Inauguration Day 2017 afternoon, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Thank you for making time on this historic day for both our nation and our world, the inauguration of the 45th President of the United States, Donald Trump. Thank you for making time for us for the program All About Television. We're brought to you today by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later on in the program. 45 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. This is the program All About Television. We have some wonderful guests coming away in the hour ahead, and we invite you to let her rip and give us a call with your questions and comments for any of our guests over the next 60 minutes. How do you do it? You use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the world right here on Blog Talk Radio. You can also use our chat room to get the message across, and that's SimonApple04 by name. You will find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Get 423 right now in the room. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. We expect to have Lauren Fosilva, executive producer of Hunted, premiering Sunday night on CBS Live with us from Los Angeles after a set of News Note quickies. House of Cards will begin its fifth season on Netflix May 30th. Former Vikings co-star Travis Fimmel is working on a History Channel anthology series depicting famous anti-heroes one per season. First up, Wyatt Earp. Lenny James, the co-star on The Walking Dead from AMC and the just-launched series Taboo on FX, will create and write Gone. It's another anti-hero saga, this time from British satellite provider and production company Sky Atlantic. And the CW will undertake a musical-minded crossover in late March involving two of its series, Supergirl and The Flash. And that is news notes for today. We are awaiting Laura Foy Silva. She is one of the executive producers of Hunted. It is the new reality competition that is beginning this Sunday night after the AFC Championship game in most areas on your local CBS station. Here's the way it works. Teams of two are on the run from various investigators around the country, and they're going to use anything scientific, technology, drones, whatever, to capture them. If they get captured, they don't win anything. But if they stay hunted for 28 days, they will win $250,000. And, of course, if every one of the couples makes it during that time period, they each will get that $250,000. As I mentioned, the series is going to be premiering on CBS after the AFC Championship game, Park Championship Sunday. Fox, of course, getting the other game, the NFC Championship game, in the early afternoon on Sunday. And then on Sunday, early Sunday evening, they will have on CBS the AFC Championship game between the New England Patriots and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And again, it is expected that Hunted will premiere on CBS around 10 o'clock, 10:30 Eastern time. That's 7:30, that's on the Pacific time zone. So again, we are waiting for Laura Foy Silva to join us. Laura, if you're hearing me, please use our number, 646-652-2906, and as soon as you get aboard, we will put you on the air. Instead, I want to get a welcome guest 429 into our chat room, SimonApple04. My name, if you have a question or comment for our guest, please use that chat room and make yourself known. By the way, coming up in the second half of the hour, we'll go live to Los Angeles, and we will check in with the people behind a very unusual dramedy series called The Chances. It's unusual because its co-stars and co-creators are deaf, and it's one of the first shows of its kind that's being showcased at the Sundance Film Festival, a festival taking place on today, as a matter of fact, in Parks, Utah, going on through the weekend and then going on throughout next week. That is more and more becoming a television festival. TV pilots, TV series, documentaries, special screenings will be happening throughout the weekend and the week. And in the case of The Chances, they will be screened on Monday, along with a special Q&A, plus there'll be a press screening, and then there'll be another screening for the public on Wednesday, January 25th. So they will be joining us at the top of the bottom of the hour. We'll be joined by the co-creators and the stars, that's Rosanna Stern and Josh Feldman, and Ramon, who is their interpreter, will join us and will be in and sense their voice during that segment, and that will be at the second half of the program at the bottom of the hour. So while we are waiting for Laura to join us from Huntington, again, Laura, if you're hearing me, use our phone, 646-652-2906. Let us know where you're at as soon as we get you aboard. We will put you on the air. Coming up, by the way, on our show Monday, we have another great hour in store for you to kick off the week. We'll take a look and we'll check out Kids Central. It's one of two new Latino networks aimed at kids and their families that is being launched this month on Comcast cable systems and other cable systems across the country. It's being done by Condesta Networks, which has supplied a number of Spanish language programming to cable and satellite services over the last couple of years. We'll be speaking to the key executives there, the president, Jorge Pateri, and one of the key programmers, Javier Prelooker. And then on the second half of the hour, one of the most popular Saturday morning series on Lin-Week Adventure on ABC, Born to Explore, is moving this month to PBS. And we will have both the executive producer, that's Mercedes Boga, and the host and the creator of the series, Richard Weiss, with us. That's Born to Explore, live with us. That's next Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. And 1 week from today, we will have the creator and executive producer of the Peabody Award-winning Freeform series, Switched at Birth, Lindsay Weiss. She will make a return visit to our show. We had her on during the first year of the program, the year that it won the Peabody Award. At that time, it was ABC Family, not Freeform. And the new and final edition of Switched at Birth will begin its run on Freeform January 31st. That's 1 week from today. Lindsay Weiss from Switched at Birth, right here exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Guest 404 has joined our chat room. Thanks for coming aboard. And if you have a question or comment, get it into the room, and we'll get it on the air ASAP. Once again, we are awaiting Laura Freud Silva. She is one of the executive producers of Hunted, the new reality competition series premiering this Sunday night after the AFC Championship game on CBS stations across the country. And as soon as Laura texts in with us, we will put her on the air. In the meantime, let's give you the answer to this week's classic trivia question. Sad to say we did not get a winner. We're still waiting our first winner of 2017. The question was this. We posed actually over the last 2 weeks, and it was this. On the original One Day at a Time, name Ann Romano's original boyfriend. Name Ann Romano's original boyfriend. Well, the answer we were looking for was either the character's name or the actor's name. We would have accepted either one. The character's name was David Kane, and the actor who played him was Richard Masure. They were on the first two and a half seasons of that popular series. They ran 9 seasons on CBS in the 1970s and early 1980s. So once again, the answer to this week's classic trivia question was David Kane was Ann Romano's boyfriend, played by Richard Masure. We will have another classic trivia question for you on our next episode, Monday afternoon, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. And after we pose the question, if you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. And if you are first with the correct answer, you will win Britcom's FAQ, published by Flav Books. And the sooner you get it in, the sooner you will be able to win. Don't forget, when you send in your entry to simonapple04@yahoo.com, please enclose your name and where you are from. All right, joining us live from Los Angeles, when the executive producer of Hunted premiering Sunday night on CBS at the AFC Championship game, we welcome in Laura Freud Silva. Laura, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
You're welcome. How long has Hunted been in the hopper for CBS?
How long has it been? I'm sorry, what was that?
How long has it been in the hopper or been developed at CBS?
Well, you know, it started in the UK. It was a UK series that aired last fall, and pretty much right away there was a lot of interest in bringing it over to the US. So we have been, I came on board almost a year ago, and we did a lot of painstaking development and research to make it exciting and accurate, like a real manhunt. And so now we're so excited for the premiere on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. I mentioned at the top that this is an amazing race for the difference, and the difference is the mission is not go around the world, it's don't get caught. How are you able to find the couples that decide to take on that mission?
Well, you know, it's a different kind of thrill. I think it's a different kind of show, a different kind of experience. And I think a lot of people, you know, we live in an age where, you know, nowadays we're connected so much and so many conveniences. But at the same time, there's a thrill of, like, could I unplug? Could I hide? Can I kind of, you know, be the master of my own social media profile? And so people really wanted that excitement. And I think there's even the old school, you know, Being on the Run, The Fugitive, Jason Bourne. So we had a lot of people that really were excited by the adventure of it and the challenge of it.
Did they take it as a lark, or did they want to sort of take it as a challenge to prove something of themselves?
Yeah, they wanted to, the fugitives, they wanted to, I think, you know, prove their sort of ingenuity against the best minds, you know, out there in our law enforcement. So I think different, as you'll see when you watch the show, different teams have different strategies, different motivations, which makes it really fascinating to watch.
Mm-hmm. So explain how this works in more detail. You have a batch of teams. Each of them have, it's two on our team. Mm-hmm. They are out to stay hunted for 28 days, and explain how they have to do that, and then explain what the hunters, the investigators who you pick to capture these people, what they have to do.
Well, I think that's what's really fascinating, the idea alone. It's a competition show, but it's wrapped in kind of a thriller. And what's really fun is it brings viewers into both sides of a manhunt. And so really we had fugitives, yes, they had very few rules. We wanted them to kind of come up with their idea of what are they going to do to get off the grid. And really the rules are very simple. There's 100,000 square miles in southeast United States, which is pretty much Georgia, South Carolina, parts of Florida, Alabama, anywhere they wanted. They had to make it 28 days to win $250,000, and any team that made it was that could win. And really that was those were the very few rules that we had. On the other side, we had a command center that had 18 of the best law enforcement that are used to hunting fugitives. We have ex-FBI, U.S. Marshals, CIA, Navy SEALs, directing a ground team. And we had nine teams of two hunters, ground hunters, that were able to get, you know, directives from the command center to follow up on leads, to hopefully try and make captures, to do their own investigating. And those ground hunters were, you know, equally diverse in their background, very well experienced. These are people that work day-to-day in law enforcement, SWAT teams, police, again, U.S. Marshals. So really, you know, the viewer gets to really see what it's like to be a fugitive, to be looking over your shoulder at all times and wonder who you can trust and kind of think on your feet every moment. But you really get an insight into the real jobs that these men and women do in the tactics and tools that they have to hunt down people, both boots on the ground and, as we know nowadays too, just how much of your digital footprint is left behind every moment.
Mm-hmm. What ground rules were given, Laura, to the hunted? For example, could they put on disguises, as David Janssen did in the original The Fugitive series back in the 60s? Could they only go a certain amount of territory per day? Could they go anywhere in the U.S. if they wanted to go?
So the rules were pretty minimal. Like I said, we had 100,000 square hunt zone just to kind of make it manageable. You know, the UK did the show originally, and the entire UK is about a little under 100,000 square miles. So we did pick a region and, like I said, those states, and that was one of the main rules, is that the fugitives couldn't leave that zone. But beyond that, there was a few stop downs that we would have to take just for, you know, production sake and safety. But beyond that, we really tried to let the fugitives do what they wanted to do, think of what they wanted to think of, and give as much latitude as possible to see really what could they come up with to hide from the hunters.
Did they all start from the same spot? And if so, where was that spot?
No, what's really fascinating and fun is basically we told the fugitives, we gave them a small window, and we said they knew they were participating, they knew they were going to go on the run, but they did not know where or when they would be sent on the run. So we really wanted to capture them in that spur of the moment feeling that very often a real fugitive will suddenly go on the run, whether it's, you know, committing a crime or what they might do. So for our fugitives, too, they had a small window they knew it was going to happen, but they didn't know when or where, and they were given a one-hour head start on the hunters. So basically, when we showed up, you know, to start the run, they were, you know, given the word go. They had to pack their belongings, figure out what they wanted to bring, and get going. And basically, 1 hour after we let them know they were on the run, we then told the hunters that they were on the run, and all of the command center and the hunters were given was their name, their date of birth, and their last known location, and a photo. And from there, they just had to piece together the clues to start tracking them.
As you can tell, some amazing race. It's called Hunted, and it's based on a format from overseas, and it premieres on CBS right after the AFC Championship game with the New England Patriots and the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Subway postgame show. It's running probably, depending on where your time zone is, it's Eastern time, so probably around 10:30 Eastern time and around 7:30, 8 p.m. on the West Coast. We're joined by Laura Foy-Silva. She's one of the executive producers of Hunted. She joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Applebaum and we do live from the other coast, New York, 45 degrees at the top of the hour. Thank you for making us part of Inauguration Day 2017. We're delighted to have you with us, where you may be along the Blog Talk Radio way. If you have a question or comment for Laura, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple0418-423-429-434 in the room. Coming up on Monday's program, there's two new networks aimed at Latinos, kids and their families that are now running on Comcast cable systems and other cable systems around the country. One is called Kid Central. We'll spotlight that on Monday's show with two of the people from Condesa Networks, the organization that has put that channel together. That's Jorge Pitieri and Penn Looker will be joining us. Will be joining us. And then one of the most popular Saturday morning shows through Litton's Weekend Adventure on ABC, Born to Explore, is going to PBS this month. We'll talk with the host of the show. He's also the creator, Richard Weiss. And we'll also have the executive producer of the program, Mercedes Velga. It's all coming up Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Laura, what are some of the most unique tactics that the command center investigators use to try to capture the hunted?
You know, there's a lot of interesting tactics that viewers will be able to see, and some's high-tech and some is low-tech. You know, we have some really fun toys that are more and more used today. So there's big things like helicopters and drones and night vision goggles to try and track people down. But then there's really just what the cyber team does and the intel team does, and that is they dig through your social media profile, and they put together a pattern of life, and then they can really tell you more about yourself than you might even realize by the things that you post, the friends that you keep, the conversations that you have with your phone and with social media. So really both of those things together. And I think the audience is going to see a lot of surprising things along the way. And I think it reflects a lot on our own lives. We kind of will pause for a minute and say, wow, what do I send out every day? What do people know about me? Whether it's, you know, being hunted as a fugitive or just day to day, what kind of messages we're constantly sending out about each other and ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there anything challenged production-wise with this program? Because you have, I would think, camera crews that follow each of these twosomes, wherever they're going in this 100,000 square mile area. A, what rules did you give to the camera crews? B, how do you and your fellow executive producers communicate with them so you know, without telling the investigators, where they're at?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that was a lot of what went into the planning to really make this an authentic experience. And we took a lot of painstaking, you know, details to do that. And two things to that. One is, the actual crews that we hired to do this were almost embedded with the fugitives. They were people that are used to shooting documentary shows where they kind of live as their subjects live. So we got people, crews that were out there and ready to do what the fugitives were going to do, whether it was living in a swamp or running through a city. They were going to do as the fugitives did to be part of that. And we also had, nowadays it's nice, there's so many different types of cameras that you can use, including your iPhone, that we had a lot of tips and tricks so that they could document it without getting in the way of what the fugitive was doing or calling attention to the fugitive. So there was a lot of training that went into it and a lot of planning so that we were documenting this amazing experience but not interfering in the experience. And then on the second part of your question, we had a firewall. There was a firewall that was between, there was an entire crew that was following and documenting the fugitives, and a whole entire separate staff and crew that was documenting the hunters and the command center. And there was a really, very strict firewall between the two so that those sides did not talk, they did not communicate, they did not know what each side was doing. And me and a handful of experts were in the middle where we could ensure the safety and the production was flowing smoothly. But, yeah, that was a very important linchpin to the successful running of the show. And we were very happy with how it worked, and it was amazing.
I'm assuming that the couples could not communicate with other couples. So it's like everybody has their own adventure here. You can't, for example, if you're one couple and you're in this territory, you can't communicate with another couple who may be successful in terms of eluding the investigators this way. You can't duplicate what another couple is doing, right?
Yeah, you know, each experience was entirely on its own. And frankly, I don't even think a lot of the other fugitives even knew who else was playing the game or taking on this adventure. So it really was their own independent experience. And, yeah, like I said, since they were launched from, a lot of them were launched from their homes or place of work, you know, some different places all over the hunt zone, they weren't starting in one centralized place anyway. They were starting in their home turf. So really from the beginning, it was their own adventure. It was their own experience. As you'll see when you watch the show, you know, the opposite was not true. It was for the command center and the hunters. They had a full caseload. They had, you know, 9 teams of people that they had to hunt down and research. So for them, they had to juggle what's a strong lead to follow, what's something that's worth pursuing. If we have a bunch of leads and we only have so many resources or hours in the day, where are we going to put our resources? So that's a place where the audience really gets to see a window into a real manhunt. And as so many of our experts that really come from the FBI or the CIA or the marshals tell us, that's what they deal with on a day-to-day basis. They're never just pursuing one case. They're pursuing multiple cases. So it was a lot of work on the side of the hunters. And for the fugitives, you know, they were sort of in their own world. And that's what makes it intriguing. It's really about in their own imagination. Are they after me? Are they after somebody else? You know, what are we going to do next? Who's around the next corner? And that's what makes the show really exciting.
Did you and your fellow executive producers decide to wait until the entire 28-day period was over to start editing and putting specific episodes together, or did you edit on the fly so that when we start seeing the show starting Sunday on CBS, we're seeing episodes that were done while the competition or put together while the competition was still going on?
You know, just by nature of the show, we did really get into the heavy lifting of editing after the entire run was over. We started a little bit, but this show is a massive undertaking in scope, and just it's very ambitious. I think you'll see that on the show. You see it in the scope of what we did. And really, just practically speaking, yes, we had, if you think about it, we had crews with, you know, 18 different hunters and fugitives out in the field, as well as our command center. We used, again, all the kind of cool tricks of the trade, from GoPros that could get footage of the, you know, the hunter cars at all times. So we had a massive amount of footage and a massive amount of coverage because we really documented every moment of this run from all three points of view, command center, fugitives, and hunters. So even though we started to put together some ideas while we were shooting, really when we came back, we wove together, you know, the episodes in a really intriguing way. And that's another thing I think your audience is going to love about this show. It is not cookie cutter. It is not predictable. It takes twists and turns at all moments because we in edit even followed the story. We followed where their cases took a twist or a turn. And many times something that seemed like a dead end would heat up immediately because the hunters would get a breakthrough. Or sometimes it looked like the fugitives were in dire trouble and what are they going to do next? And they found, you know, a clever way of making a quick escape. So the show takes a lot of twists and turns. And even the storytelling takes twists and turns. And we kind of bounce between different stories to really sink your teeth into the investigative process.
Mm-hmm. In the end, what do we learn about both the hunted and the hunters, about what they're all about what they got out of the experience? And especially we haven't talked about the hunters that much. What do we learn about how they do their job? What life is like for them? If this is a regular thing that they do, this is not, you know, just it may be in a way a game for them, because it's a competition, mm-hmm. but for me, I would think that for many of these investigators, this is a 24-hour-a-day job.
That's one thing that I think the audience will learn. I certainly learned. When we brought together the team, when we looked for experts that would come on this show, we have a combination of people that are retired, and some are still in active duty and were able to take off time. And I would say, if people ask what's in it for the hunters and the investigators, and I'll give you one word, it's pride. They are very proud of what they do, and most of them aren't on television. Most of them don't get any public accolades for what they do day in and day out. But what I've learned is they work tirelessly. When there is a case they're after, they don't punch it in 9 to 5. They don't go home because they know lives are at stake. You know, the safety of the country might be at stake. And these are really dedicated people that work 24/7. They tell me stories. They're even on Hunted. They said you go home and your mind's reviewing everything. Did I miss anything? So really, their dedication I learned. And the other thing I learned is, really, you cannot replace the human mind. And we might have all the technology in the world. We might have, you know, computers, and we might have programs that will help us, you know, find leads or things like that. But you cannot replace experience. And I would see information come through that for all of us, we'd say, well, I don't know if that means anything. And these really experienced investigators, they do make leaps of predictions. They do put two and two together in a way that a lot of us don't, you know, realize. And so really what I saw was how creative they are, how experienced they are, and smart they are. So they're, I think the audience will be excited to see kind of both sides of that.
The beginning of Hunted is this Sunday night on your local CBS station right after the AFC Championship game between the New England Patriots and the Pittsburgh Steelers, roughly around 10 o'clock Eastern time and around 7 o'clock Pacific time. Of course, I love to happen after the Subway post-game show following the game. Check the local listings to the CBS station area. Incidentally, the second episode of Hunter will be a two-hour special. It will be on this Wednesday night. It's January 25th from 8 to 10 p.m., and future episodes will be on Wednesday nights from 8 to 9 p.m. Again, check your local listings to the CBS station near you. For more details about the program online, go to cbs.com. Laura Court Silva, executive producer of Hunted, thank you for taking the time and joining us this Friday afternoon. All the best with the series. Hopefully a wonderful run in store. An amazing race for all involved.
Thank you so much for having me. It was so great to talk about it.
It's a pleasure, Laura. All the greatest. Take care. Have a wonderful weekend.
Okay, you too. Thank you.
Laura Court Silva from Hunted joining us live from Los Angeles. Once again, the premiere episode right after the AFC Championship game this Sunday night on your local CBS station. More from our Retail Live in a moment after these words from our regular sponsor, the fine folks at Audible.com and Amazon Company. The big movie of the moment is Hidden Figures. A lot of people think it's going to be a big contender when the Academy Awards are announced in the next week or so. Well, you don't have to wait until seeing the film to experience it. Why? Because there's an audiobook version, and it's a bestseller, and you can get it through Audible.com. It's a very exciting book, Hidden Figures, about how mathematicians played a role in the U.S. space program. And you can pick it up through a 30-day trial for Audible.com. Audible.com is the home for outstanding spoken digital entertainment and information. Over 100,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to any of the audiobooks involved on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio. So sign up at this URL, audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. And hear for yourself Hidden Figures, or any one of the wonderful audiobooks, all different categories in Audible's catalog. And remember, you get a 1-month trial of service and great customer service given on Audible is from Amazon. So check it out for yourself. Go to this URL and give it a try. AudibleTrial.com/televised. AudibleTrial.com/televised. And whether it's Hidden Figures or any of the great titles up for sale and for your listening, you'll know that Audible.com is a great, outstanding gift in audio that lasts all year long and beyond. Once again, audibletrial.com/televised. You will not regret it. This is Tomorrow Televised, the program all about the two. We're with you Mondays and Fridays, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, if you want to catch up on recent episodes, and so far this month we've had some incredible guests on, including producers from One Day at a Time, Divided, Beyond, other things as well. And last week, Sean Cassidy, yes, that's Sean Cassidy, from the NBC series Emerald City. Go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And for those in the New York area, join me on Monday for BK Live. We'll have the Magic Ender Oven Gadget talking about CES and its role in television, Dana Woman. That's Dana Woman from Engadget, live in studio next Monday on BK Live. It's the daily show about all things Brooklyn and beyond. You can catch it throughout New York City on Brian and Fios. Check it out in Manhattan and Brooklyn on Charter Spectrum, and also in Brooklyn on RCN and Cablevision Systems. And then it's posted around the world at YouTube.com/BrickTV. YouTube.com/BrickTV. When we come back, Sundance Film Festival is underway today, and next week it's going to be all about television as much as film. We're going to showcase one of the programs that's trying to get a move through Sundance. It's called The Chances, and it's very unique because its creators and co-stars are deaf. But we will hear them, and we'll tell you how coming up after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are connected to the best internet radio on the planet. www.blogtalkradio.com, more than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for one of the most popular daytime shows in all of internet radio, The Jay King Show, otherwise known as Kings in the Morning. Check them out every weekday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best free talk daily 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of this Tomorrow We Tell Us episode on Inauguration Afternoon 2017. Donald Trump, the 45th President of the United States at this hour. Live, you're with us, Simon Applebaum, with you live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. More good guests coming away in a half hour ahead, and we invite you to call the program. Have a question or comment? Get it going at 646-652-2906, or use my chat room, SimonApple04, and welcome guest 450 into the room. You'll find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, SimonApple04 by name. Our second segment combines two stories in one. Story number one, more and more film festivals are now showcasing television in a bigger way, and one of them is the Sundance Film Festival, started today at Park City, Utah, and it will really get going this weekend and this coming week with many interesting television projects, screenings of television pilots, screenings of series that want to get on the air, all sorts of stuff. In fact, it was 2 years ago at Sundance that a New York Television Festival winner from 2013 called Animals, the best comedy winner, an animated short about various city animals, talking about life there, was showcased with help from the Duplass brothers. And right after that screening, HBO picked it up, decided to order 20 episodes. The first of the episodes ran last year on Friday night, late night. Second ones will be premiering soon on HBO. Well, the people that we're going to be talking with in a very unique way in the next few minutes also want that to happen. They have put together a series called The Chances. It is about two best friends and how they maneuver through life. Two best friends who in real life are deaf. They are the co-stars and they are the co-creators of the series, and their names are Shoshana Stern and Josh Feldman. And they're joining us from Los Angeles, California. And we are going to hear them because with them as well is the interpreter who will be their voice for this next segment, and that is Ramon Moran. Ramon, it's great to have you with us. Thank you for your service.
Perfect, perfect. Hello, everyone. This is Shoshana and Josh. Hello.
Yes, Ramon, it's great to have you. And Shoshana and Josh, great to have you aboard.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here, I have to say.
And I want to alert our audience that because Ramon is communicating between the three of us, you will hear some pauses between our questions and the answers, and we appreciate it. So, Shoshana, how long did it take for you and Josh to put this series together, and why did you do so?
Well, I think the two of us have been working together since we first met, and I think that that's part of the process, really. And we actually created the show probably from the first idea and then the product. Probably it was a short period of time, I have to say. It probably took about a year and a half total. And then we shot it a year ago. And we wrote it, we rewrote it right after the pilot that we did for YouTube. And that was all took place in less than a year.
Josh, how much of this program is taken right from your life and your partner's life?
Well, a lot of it, I would say. A lot of it's based on what we experienced. And I think what we did was we took something that we like and we ran with it in a new direction. And but a lot of it, yes, is definitely based on our life.
So, Shoshana, a few months ago on this program, we had Jay Bryant, who is a deaf filmmaker based here in New York, who wants to do a superhero television series that would feature deaf people of color. We met at the New York Television Festival. This is where the second side of our story comes in. because she was at a panel that MTV put together about their television series. Most of them, all of them featuring women, by the way, including a wonderful comedian named Nicole Byer, totally exactly Nicole, who was on our show, by the way, early last fall. And she stood up and said, you know what, I want to see deaf people of color. We don't see them. We do see deaf people on television, including a show called Switched at Birth, whose creator, Libby Weiss, incidentally, will be on our show next week, a week from today. But we don't see deaf people of color, and I want to do a show with them. We had her on this program. We had her on BK Live, the local show that I do here in New York. We are waiting to see what happens out of that. But I understand that one of the things that excites you and Josh about doing this series is that what Jade wants, you want also, which is you want more deaf people and deaf people of color and deaf and hard of hearing, not hearing impaired, hard of hearing, that's the term we use. You want them behind the camera as much in front of the camera.
Yes, that's exactly what we want. And I think there's two things that are really important to both of us, is first being intersectionality. I think having a deaf people out there that are not just deaf, but also are multiple things. And also in having their characters be based on who they are as people, not what they are. And I think what we also think that deaf people on TV, they of course have been on TV. There have been deaf characters on TV in different ways, which is great. But I think we also need to have deaf people behind the camera. I think we need to have more women behind the camera. I think we need to have more disabled people behind the camera. And I think that that's something that both of us are really passionate about doing. And I think we wanted to make sure that we have deaf people behind the camera, and that's what we did. We did for the chances. We had, I believe there was 3 or 4 deaf people behind the camera that were working on set. We had the person who did our hair was deaf. We had an American Sign Language master who worked on the show who wanted to make sure that our dialogue was appropriate. Our set photographer was also deaf, and our editor was deaf. So, and we definitely are hoping to continue that and create working opportunities for people out there behind the camera.
Now, Shoshana, this program has had 2 breakthroughs. Breakthrough number 1 is Sundance. And I believe this is the first show of its kind involving deaf or hearing impaired, or should I say hard of hearing filmmakers, that is being shown there. The second thing is that you also have a backer. And that backer is a division of Time Warner, specifically Turner, called Super Deluxe, which incidentally was at the New York Television Festival for the first time as a sponsor. And I understand that Super Deluxe, which has been doing web projects, wants to do television projects. So explain first how this project got the attention of Super Deluxe, and then how it got the attention of Sundance.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, this whole thing came from a pilot that we put together that Josh and I did on our own. And I think it cost $250, to be honest. And we shot it in one day at our friend's apartment. And then we put it up on YouTube. And we were hoping to raise money from that through Kickstarter and then shoot more episodes. That was our original intention, to do that on our own. And that Kickstarter was amazing. And I think we received so many sponsors. I think 95% or 98% of the people that backed us were people that we didn't even know. They just, it was somehow thought, and they wanted more of it. And that made us feel like, wow, there is really a market out there for this. And it's not just from the deaf community, and it's not just from the gay community, but it's just people in general, people who want to see something different. And I think that that's what we were so inspired by. But also, Super Deluxe saw that pilot, and they contacted the both of us and brought us in, and we decided to make 5 episodes from there, and that's how it happened.
And Josh, how long is each episode?
They're between 5 to 8 minutes.
And so, Shana, how many of them will be screened next week at Sundance?
All of them, all 5 episodes.
So Zana Stern and Josh Feldman are the co-stars and creators of The Chances. It's from Super Deluxe, and it's getting a screening on Monday at the Sundance Film Festival, Park City, Utah. And through interpreter Ramon Grant, they are joining us live from Los Angeles right here on Tomorrow We Televise. Happy to have you along as well on this Friday afternoon, the Friday afternoon of an inauguration that has impacted our nation and our world with the 45th President of the United States, That is Donald J. Trump. You're listening to us live from New York here on Blog Talk Radio. Delighted you are aboard. 45 degrees at the top of the hour. If you have a question or comments for Zion and Josh, why not use your voice? Raise it and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number's good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio. Or get into our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. It's at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's it, 423, 434, and 450 are doing. Coming up a week from today in our program, as you mentioned, Switch to Birth, the Peabody Award-winning series, one of the best family dramas made in recent years on what was ABC Family, now Freeform, will start its fifth and final season on January 31st. And next Friday, we will have live with us the creative executive producer, Lizzie Weiss. That's coming up next Friday, 1 week from today, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Shoshana, what's been the advanced feeling about the series from folks at Sundance?
Well, a lot of people haven't actually seen it as of yet. So I think this is really exciting for us to actually have our world premiere to be at Sundance. And I think we showed episode one at the LA Film Festival, and that was great. We got a lot of great feedback, but all five are actually going to be shown at once, and you can see that arc that happens through those episodes. So we'll see what happens. We hope people like it.
Mm-hmm. And Josh, what are the situations that both of you deal with in this series?
Well, I think the lack of communication is something that we deal with our partners that we actually date on the show, because they're not fluent in sign language, but we still have to find a way to cross that communication barrier and find love, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Switch to Birth, Shoshana, one of the things that that series has done, which was a breakthrough for television, was that in order for the general audience to understand what it's like to be deaf or what it's like to be hard of hearing, whenever those characters appeared on the screen and talked to each other, they would deliberately lower the sound so that you would not hear much. You would see subtitles, but you would not hear much. And when we had Lizzie on the program 5 years ago, that was what she wanted to showcase. She wanted to say, you know, this is what approximately it's like to be deaf, to be hard of hearing. How do you communicate that to the general audience with this series?
Well, I think that's something that our director, Anna Kerrigan, she actually decided to do that. And I think that when we first met with them and discussed different ideas, we had a lot of ideas about sound, but she came up with this really cool thing where there really is a soundtrack, but it's people actually clapping. So it's, I'm trying to think, it's just a different kind of sound. And it's kind of hard to me explain it in words, but it's a distinct sound. And it's a different kind of sound. So I think it's more natural to the way that Josh and I feel sound, because we don't hear it, we feel it. So the clapping that you kind of hear in the track, the few people that have seen it, the first time that they see it, they're like, wait, this is interesting. They'd like it because it's different. It's a different way of hearing.
Mm-hmm. Josh, what was the most difficult part of putting this together?
Well, we had a crew that was made up of both deaf and hearing people, and we were a little bit concerned about that to see if everybody could work together. And I think the difficult part was actually everything before we started production. But production, I have to say, went very smooth. We had such an amazing crew. Everybody got along so great. And I think the most difficult part was pre-production, just worrying about how it all worked out, but it did.
Mm-hmm. Shoshana, ever since we had Jade Bryant on last fall, we have heard that there have been a number of efforts to try to get television programming featuring deaf, hard of hearing people in front and behind the camera, in some cases deaf, hard of hearing people of color involved in a series. And that's how we were able to hear about what both of you are doing, what Super Deluxe, your distributor is doing. Is there any organization out there that deals with your community that is trying to assist you in advocating for more you know, for more involvement in the TV industry by the deaf and the hard of hearing community?
Yeah, specifically in the TV industry, no. But we do have a fantastic civil rights organization called the National Association of the Deaf, and they've been around since 1880. And they advocate for so many different legal issues, and I think sometimes that includes television and film, to make sure that we are being portrayed accurately and that there's accessibility, closed captioning, you know, all of that is something they advocate for.
Mm-hmm. Josh, I mentioned earlier that you answered about how much of this experience. Of all the situations you cover in this series, what was the one plot that Bew and Shoshana did that really hit home for you?
Oh, well, I think the one of my favorite storylines is when I get back together with my ex-boyfriend. It was inspired by something that happened in real life when I slept with a guy that I used to date. And at first, I was going to keep it a secret from Shoshana, and I was going to keep it secret. This is Shoshana's secret, but he couldn't keep it a secret, of course. And this is Josh again. Right when I saw her, I had to say, because I thought, what would happen if I kept this a secret? And I think that's where that storyline came from.
And so, Shoshana, how about you? What plot line, storyline impacted you the most?
I think my character, Kate, she just recently got married. And on the show, she just got married. And I think, it was very personal for me because I'm not just recently married. I've been married for 5 years now. But there is a transition and a change that occurs internally. And it's not an external thing, but it's something that's internal. And I think, how do I be a wife? How do I be a friend at the same time? And how do I pursue my career on top of that? And you sometimes feel like you are different people at different times. You're a different person as a wife, you're a different person as a friend, and you're a different person when you're at work. So I think that's something that I really enjoyed telling.
The Chances is a proposed dramedy series that is getting its shot this coming Monday at Sundance, the Sundance Film Festival in Park City, which itself is becoming more and more of a television festival by the year. And we are speaking with the two people that are making that program happen, Shoshana Stern and Josh Stallman. They're the co-creators and the co-stars. They're both deaf. And you are hearing them through their interpreter, Ramon Mirage. They're all joining us live from Los Angeles right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Applebaum here with you live from New York. Delighted you are aboard. You have a question or a comment. You have a few more minutes to ring it in at 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04, get 434 and get 450 still in the room. Remember, coming up on Monday's program, we will have the people behind Kids Central. It's the new service that's now running for Latino kids and their families on Comcast cable systems and other cable systems across the country. One of two, by the way, that are going to be carried starting this month on those cable systems. The other is Primo TV from Bene. We'll have Jorge Pateri, he's the head of Cadiza Networks, the company putting Kids Center together, and one of his lieutenants in programming, Javier Belucker. Also on the program, from Born to Explore, the popular series on Lit Weekend Adventure, winner of two Daytime Emmy Awards, which is now running on PBS stations as of this month, the host and creator, Richard White, also the executive producer, Mercedes Delgado. It's all coming up Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. I mentioned to Shoshana that it was 2 years ago that Sundance Animals got the leap-off point, if you will, to be on HBO. What do you hope will come out of the screenings at Sundance? Is there a cable network television service that you would like to see this program go on as a 30- or 60-minute show?
Well, the short answer is, of course. Of course I would like that. My long answer is that I have no expectations. And I'm trying to go into it with that. And I am excited. I am excited about going back. At the same time, I feel like I'm trying not to be overexcited because I feel like if you are over-anxious that you have an established expectation, that will be disappointing for you. So I want to make sure that I'm excited to show the world what the both of us did. And again, no one has really seen this yet. And we're showing this to an audience of people who really love television. They love different kinds of stories. They love storytelling. And it just hits me that this is something that the both of us came up with over happy hour. And it actually has become a reality now. And it's going to be shown at Sundance. And I just realized that actually today. And I'm excited about that. And I'm just going to stay in that space and just go with it.
Mm-hmm. John, it's obvious that, Super Deluxe tying up with them has opened up some doors. Sundance, you mentioned LA Film Festival. Because Super Deluxe is part of the Turner family, are they going to open up doors for you, let's say, to maybe get on TBS or TNT or True TV or any of the Time Warner networks and perhaps get exposure there? For example, TBS last year launched a bunch of original comedies, Andrew and Rebecca, The Detour, People of Earth from Conan O'Brien's company, Canalco, Search Party, all of which got great reviews. They all were renewed for new seasons this year. One would think that might be a natural avenue.
Well, yeah, hopefully. I mean, at this point, in this day and age, anything is possible. I mean, in the streaming service, there's so much content out there now, and I'm hopeful. That's all I can say, and we can just see what happens.
So, Shana, what would you like to see the television industry do to provide more opportunities behind the camera for your community?
I would say just give people a chance. I think one of the interesting things that we found out when we were doing research for our show is that there's 52% of deaf people in America who are unemployed and who are employable. So most of them actually don't work. They're employable. That's almost half. And I know that, you know, within our community, there's a sense of pride. And it really gives them dignity and, you know, to be able to go to work. And I know that this is something that really is lacking within our community. And so if you're going to give these people jobs, they will be thrilled. They would be so proud. And they would work so hard. They just need that one opportunity for a person to say, why not? Why not hire them? Just to have that precedent out there. And it's not there right now. And, you know, we just need that one person to break through that door, and then I think the floodgates will open.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of opportunity, what Scripted Birth did was it did give opportunity to a number of deaf and hard of hearing actors. One of them is Kayla Clark, who is the co-star of that series. I've said from the get-go, I wish you'd be nominated for Best Supporting Actress Emmy. I think her performance was marvelous. I'm happy that we get one more shot with her. I'm also very happy that she will be doing a new series following the completion of this one. And I understand from one of both of you that she recently got married and you were at that event.
Yes, this is Shoshana speaking. Yeah, I was.
Mm-hmm. How is she doing and how is she looking forward to her next pathway as an actress?
Well, she seems to be very busy. And, you know, she's enjoying being a wife. She's enjoying working. And, you know, she knows Switched at Birth, you know, her time on there. You know, there's a time when you feel that there's really that point of transition. And so I think she's in that space now.
Mm-hmm. And again, personally, to both of you, I'm very happy that she is going to continue to be in television. She is a wonderful talent, and I think her character is marvelous with a lot of dignity and multifaceted. She performs beautifully on it. Again, if there's a God in TV, that maybe this is the year that perhaps she will get an Emmy nomination for Best Supporting Actress in a television series, in a TV drama.
I was just saying, the more recognition that's out there, the better.
Mm-hmm. While you're waiting for word and how Sundance goes, are you working on future episodes of The Chances, or are you looking for maybe teaming up, both of you are teaming up on another project?
This is Josh speaking. Yeah, we've been working on a script for a film, so we're trying to keep ourselves busy. We would love to tell more stories with our characters on The Chances, so hopefully we get more chances to tell more stories on The Chances.
Love the way that's spoken. Love that. You could not sum it up any better, Josh. The Chances will get its screening, its chance, at the Sundance Film Fest in Park City, Utah. If you're going there, the screening is going to be this coming Monday, January 23rd at 11 a.m. local time. There will also be a screening for the press, I believe it's later today or Tuesday, and then it gets another screening or two on Wednesday, January 25th. And again, the series, it's a short-form series, but hopefully it will be longer for television if it gets its shot, is carried on Super Deluxe, which is part of the Turner family of websites. If you want more details about the series and other projects that Super Deluxe is doing for both television and the web, here's where you go online, series.superdeluxe.com. Series.superdeluxe.com. If you want to speak to the Chances, add in a / the Chances. Shoshana Stern, Josh Feldman, and their interpreter, Raymond Morrell, thank you all very, very much for coming on. Shoshana and Josh, all the very best to you at Sundance this coming week, and I hope it does become a series, and if it does, we would love to have you back on.
Definitely. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having us.
You're welcome, all of you. Have a fantastic weekend, and have a sensational time at Sundance. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much. Take care.
You too. So that is Sarah, Josh Stone, and Raymond Maraud, all joining us live from Los Angeles with the Chances here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. And again, one more time, it will be at the Sundance Film Festival in Park City, Utah, Monday, screening 11 a.m. local time. Monday on Tomorrow Will Be Televised, we'll have the people behind the new network Kids Central that is now available on Comcast cable systems, hopefully to other cable systems around the country, and that is Jorge Fateri and Javier Penlooker from Kadisa Network. Also, from the Emmy Award-winning series Born to Explore, part of Liz Wing Adventure, now on PBS stations around the country, Richard Weiss, the creator and host, and the executive producer, Mercedes Vogat. And next Friday on the program, 1 week from today, the creator, executive producer of the Peabody-winning series Switched at Birth, starting its third and final season on Freeform, January 31st, Lizzie Weiss. It's all coming your way next week, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, Monday and Friday here on Tomorrow We Televise. If you came in on today's show late or you want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televise. That's blogtalkradio.com/televise. Check out the podcast version. It's on iTunes.com. Also on Apple TV's iTunes podcast app, along with all the Blog Talk Radio programming. Remember, if you don't have Apple TV, go to your local Apple store or order it online. Remember, we love hearing from you. What do you think about our guest today? And where you stand on the world of television, where it's at, where it's going, including giving more opportunities for deaf and hard-of-hearing people of color and people of color in front of or behind the camera. We want to hear from you, so email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. That's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to include your name and where you're from. That's how you get involved in our Clapper Trivia question each week for prizes. That's also how you get involved in our regular feature or show to know. Is there a TV show you like and doesn't get enough attention? Well, if you let us know, we'll give it the attention, and we'll give you the credit for it also. So check us out. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televise, and check me out on email, simonapple04@yahoo.com. You can also find me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter. However you communicate, it's appreciated. I do respond within 24 hours, and we do because what you say matters. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associate is Candace Williams. Andy Toth is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, the creator of this very enterprise, Mr. Alan Levy. Tomorrow We Televise is brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Once again, for a free 30-day trial and a free book along with it, audibletrial.com/televise. For Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Enjoy the rest of this extraordinary day where we have a peaceful transition to a new president and we go forward from there. Have a wonderful weekend. We are back on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio. Be safe and be great out there. And please, give a thought to the world. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.